Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here today to talk about Ring-a-Ding-Ding.
But hold on.
Okay.
In the episode, which one is it called? What was the name of the one where they were at the gay bar?
All That Glitters.
All That Glitters. So in All That Glitters, I got some quick notes. Number one, Pastis is currently not empty. There is a Restoration Hardware.
Oh, interesting. Now.
So that's, and then I also found out that Chris Payne Gilbert, remember I was like, I know him. And you're like, yeah, he's been on the show before.
Right.
He actually, I also know him because he is in Broken Hearts Club, which is a movie that I always tell you that we should see. And he goes on a date with Dean Cain in the movie. And he has a great quote where he says, he breaks up with Dean Cain and he goes, have a pleasant evening, bottom boy.
Okay.
So that's it.
I remember reading something about, because they just did a reunion of that on Entertainment Weekly, and just Dean Cain didn't know what that meant.
At the time or still?
Probably still.
Could you imagine he like does this whole movie about gay people and he still doesn't even know what a bottom is?
No, they had to educate him.
Yeah.
So Ring-a-Ding-Ding originally aired January 27th, 2002.
Do you ever think of Grease? Wouldn't that quote ring-a-ding-ding?
I do not.
Oh, it's a line in Grease.
I'm not a big Grease person.
How could you have been like a human who liked theater?
I could quote a lot of Grease too.
Well, okay.
That's so the weird thing. Is
no,
that
it's not weird. It just means you're really gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm much more of a Grease 2 guy. This
Lorna Luft.
Yeah. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Lorna Luft.
Okay. This was written by Amy B. Harris, and I'm a tiny bit confused about this because we've actually talked about her before, but this is her first writing credit. She's been a producer from, like, episode 2. She was the bingo woman in Old Dogs, New Dicks.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. And this is only the first time we're going to revisit that episode.
The bingo.
Yeah, she's the one who gets called, and she's like, bingo.
Yeah.
She was, like, randomly, you know, cast as that, even though she was a producer, probably because she was a producer. She created the Carrie Diaries. She's strangely not a producer this season or next season, but returns in season 6, which leads me to believe that she was probably working on other projects.
Now, is there a rule, though, in SAG where you can't, like, produce and... No, that's not a rule.
No, you can do both. In fact,
and it wouldn't be SAG. It would be the...
Yeah, Writers Guild or Producers Guild. Most people these days who are writers on shows are also... credited as producers.
Right. Yeah, I'm an
because
idiot.
Well, no, you're not at all. It's just the
I mean, can we rewind that? We just play that 20 times in a row.
Me telling Elise that she's not an idiot. No, it's a little bit tricky, and it's because TV has changed so much. That back in the day when 22 episodes was the norm, and these days that's not the norm. New series like on HBO are 8. Mm-hmm. And I actually am really interested in this. I listened to a podcast about screenwriting and things that are interesting to screenwriters. And they sort of talk about how you can't sustain yourself on being a writer on an 8-episode TV series.
Right.
So part of that is a lot of times you are credited as a producer. And I don't mean credited as in you don't, it's bogus.
Right.
But you just have to do more than one thing in order to like survive in the television industry. So yeah, this is only the first time that we're going to revisit Old Dogs, New Dicks. I might have already said that, but I just think it's funny. Directed by Alan Taylor. He directed the last episode. And it's just funny to me because I look at him directing these Sex and the Cities, and I just think this guy's going to go on to, like, direct a lot of Game of Thrones. And you wouldn't necessarily think there's a ton of crossover there.
Still haven't seen that.
I love them both. I don't know if you'd like it or not.
Yeah, everyone says that. I'm like, should I watch it? They're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if it would be your thing. I always say with people with Game of Thrones, watch the first episode.
So does Tom.
Yeah, if you like the first episode, I think you'll like the series, though. It is rough.
I'm talking to, like, I'm just saying that as if, like, everyone that listens
to Tom.
Yeah, that's my best friend who always tells me to watch the first episode that Mike knows.
So what is it all worth? Carrie's financial woes make her doubt her self-worth. Meanwhile, Samantha receives expensive presents from Richard, but is still looking for more. Charlotte has trouble letting go of being Mrs. Trey McDougal, and Miranda and Steve grapple with the challenge of raising a baby together, yet apart.
A girl in pigtails once said, there's no place like home.
Yeah, we got obviously a Wizard of Oz to start us off. We, you know, her toilet is flushing.
Won't stop. Mine's done that before. Like, the water just keeps running.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at fixing that stuff.
Me too. And
I'm going to say we're better at it than we're better at it than Aiden then.
Yes, but he fixes it. And what he does fixes it, but it puts a band. I think, like, I had that issue before, and then eventually you do have to get someone because something's wrong. But gotcha. It usually is just the ball cock.
Yeah, Aiden, ball cock, I have it written right here. Aiden offers to fix it.
Mm-hmm. She's like, just, no, I'll just call somebody.
They should call it something else, though.
Hold the ball cock?
Huh? Ball cock. I don't know. Who thought of that?
Someone before it became what it is, but they can't, like, I often wonder that, too, because there's a lot of words like a dicky or things like that.
Right.
Where it's like, we can't have a United States word summit where we're like, all right, here are the words that we've all made gross and laugh at, so we have to change them.
I'm going to put ball cock up there.
I know. It would be a great one, but I'm just saying that.
So she wants him to stay for another day or forever.
Our last words to each other can't be ball cock.
This is such an interesting opening scene for this series, I feel like. Like, I don't think we've ever had, like, a sad opening scene.
But I think the series is evolving.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean that affectionately. Like, I think it's such a great way to start. We've certainly dealt with the aftermath of a breakup, but this just feels so different to me.
Well, because they're not, like, they're sad, but he's not being... It seems like she's very sad. And even when she says, like, you should stay for another day or forever, I'm thinking that's marriage.
Right.
Carrie.
Well, but it not doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Once again, this goes back to, like, him wanting to get married and her not. And I don't think not wanting to marry someone means you don't want to be with them.
Right.
I mean, we can go back and reexamine all of last week's episode. I just mean there's just a certain sadness to it that, to me, I remember originally watching this episode, and as it started, being kind of surprised that Aiden was in it. Because usually you have a breakup, and you don't necessarily, the character's not there the next episode.
But I guess it makes us, it's at least letting me know that the breakup, that he's a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
It was done well.
I remember being like, oh, Aiden's still here. And just even in that moment watching it, being like, yes, just stay forever.
Yeah, and she's like, I don't want to watch you take it, but the ring's out there. And he's like, I want you to have that.
She left the ring on the clown table?
I left the ring on the clown table.
I'll insert it, okay. But I think she says the clown table. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Anyone has an idea?
I'll watch it with captions on.
Okay.
And just let you know. Yeah, but I don't think it's clown table.
That's what it's... Yeah, I don't know. Cloud table?
I thought it was cloud table.
Oh, okay, maybe.
But I don't know what that is either, but it sounds better than that, meat crab.
Yeah, he wants her to have it.
And she's like...
Please, take it. If you do or say one more nice thing.
She's right.
I mean, right? I think this is good writing. Like,
yeah.
The writers they're like, let's make him.
We can jump to the my opinion at the end. I think this is one of the best written episodes of Sex and the City, like, ever. I think it is so funny and smart. And, like, there are so many quotes from this that I use on, like, a daily basis. Yeah. Anyway, we jump to my opinion at the end, is that I love this episode.
Yeah, so he leaves and she stays in there. And I wrote, how long was she in there? And then you get to 3 hours later. But why did she leave those rubber gloves on for three hours?
3 hours later, she's still wearing those gloves.
Yeah. Like, why does... I mean, if you need to sit in the bathroom because you're sad.
Yeah.
Or in my case, I used to, like... I remember in college just falling asleep on the bathroom floor often.
I worry about often at the end of that sentence.
Were you not in... Oh, I forgot. You weren't, like, a party kid in college.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I don't know if I can take credit for this. I feel like our friend Annabelle is the one who first pointed out, like, why is she still wearing those gloves? Like,
well, I can take credit for it because I thought it too.
And she's, like, opening the envelope and still wearing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a note that she assumes are Aiden's final words to her.
And I really like that chair. It's a mission chair that she's in. And my parents have one in their house and they hate it. And I just want it. But how do I get it here?
Yeah. My mom would be like, anything in the house you want if I give stuff away? And I'm like, what on earth am I going to do with any of the furniture that fits in your house?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not his last words.
Aiden's evicting her?
He's not evicting her.
Miranda's looking it all over because she's a lawyer.
Life
is complicated. Law offices of Golden Vogel.
Yeah.
And she's pretty much saying to her, like, hey, what he's doing is great. Like, it's really well done. And, like, what was Carrie expecting?
Very, very true. And I think that, once again, these are, like, ramifications that we've never really had to deal with before or really think about.
I mean, this could have been super messy.
Aiden owns her apartment.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, what is the other option?
So he's either saying you can buy it or... Now, I wonder and they never get to this in the episode, really. Aiden owns her apartment and the apartment next door. So is he'll probably end up selling the one next door.
I would imagine. Yeah. Can you imagine? That's the whole crux of season five, is that Aiden and Carrie live next door to each other.
And Carrie's just like complaining that she doesn't have the money. She's going to be a bag lady, a Fendi bag lady, lady. And kind of talking about, like, you know, Charlotte got hers in a settlement.
Well, she talks about how New York is a city of renters.
Right.
And it's really funny that I feel like watching this the first time, it didn't even occur to me, as they then go around the table and all three of them are like, I don't rent. Like, they all own their apartments. And yeah, I mean, it's a moment that I both get and kind of like smirk at a little bit, with Charlotte being like,
oh, I paid for that apartment.
I'm like, you kind of didn't.
Yeah, you were barely married to him. I don't know how long in Sex and the City time she was married to him.
I mean, probably a year.
But also, I think that Charlotte comes for money and has enough money that even if Trey McDougal never happened, she still wouldn't rent.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, even as someone who recognizes that, like, breakups are kind of the worst thing and, like, divorce must be breakup times much, I would still take that for the apartment.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Charlotte got a really great deal.
Yeah. Miranda has gas.
Miranda's butt coughed.
I'm pregnant. I can't control it.
That's my favorite thing to say when you toot.
When I do.
Gotcha. Oh, I'm sorry. My butt must have coughed.
Samantha picks up the check.
Opens up her Chanel wallet.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you bought the Chanel wallet?
Oh, no. Richard gave it to me as a gift.
And best is the worst.
Style for style. Best, Richard.
Best. Yikes.
From a significant other.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
And she's also wearing one of those, like, sexy girl necklaces.
Yeah. Didn't Carrie have one like this?
Yes.
But it wasn't quite as intense.
Yeah, I don't know. Samantha's, it just doesn't seem like a Samantha thing to wear. But it's very big.
And should she have kept the ring?
Aiden wanted me to keep the ring.
You did, didn't you?
Oh, honey, you're a fool.
No, it was the right thing to do.
But I feel like it would have been different if... I feel the way that Aiden is handling everything is so good that Carrie, like, that's the one thing she could have done.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think that she should have returned it.
Yeah.
And I think
and if he hadn't have taken it, then that's different. But,
yeah,
you know, I think that she's kind of getting the good, like, she's getting off pretty easy with this. Not that she deserves to be treated terribly, but, you know, she wasn't the best in this situation.
I just think it's a no-fault thing. Like, I don't think that either one of them are at fault. And I think that usually the ring is determined by whose fault it is. Like, if the woman calls off the engagement, she returns it. If the guy calls it off, she gets to keep it, is usually, I think, how it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And I just think in a no-fault situation, I do think she made the right decision. But, yeah, I get that it's a little complicated.
I mean, either way, she's got a great antler brooch right now, so.
So Charlotte is deciding what to do with her ring. We get to the saleswoman, Ruby Rosen. I just think it's funny that the saleswoman gets a name.
Mm-hmm. Played by Dina Perlman.
Yes. And Charlotte just isn't ready, and the salesperson is problematic.
Yeah. In a lot of ways.
It's fine.
She says, do you see these baguettes?
Yeah.
Where are a baguette? I already went through this with that Fendi baguette was a tiny bag. Is it just because the earrings look like baguettes?
I think it's the cut.
Yeah, it was given to her by a...
Yeah.
Baguette.
Which isn't even how you say the word, but it's a...
Hasn't it happened before in the series they've said that, like that?
The word has definitely been used.
Yeah, it was used when they were going to a furniture... It was in Aiden's furniture store the first time.
Oh, yeah. When Stanford meets the guy that has all the dolls.
Yeah, and he says... They say faguette again.
Maybe this is a loophole. They use this rhyme.
It was the same rhyme.
It is the same rhyme.
If you're going to use problematic words to the gay community, at least, like, get a new joke. Get some better material.
This is their loophole. This is how they use that word and get away with
it. Over and over. Yeah. And it's like me with a joke. And then she refers to the people next door as gypsies, which is also problematic for the Romana community. Yeah.
So we get to Carrie at the bank.
It says here that you have $700 in your checking account.
I just paid my credit card bill.
And $957 in savings.
I'm amazed that she has anything in savings.
I've got more money than Carrie Bradshaw.
I do as well, but not much. But yeah, I'm honestly surprised. Like, she was charging tomatoes. I'm kind of impressed that she has anything in a savings account.
Well, she has to pay her, and she just paid her rent.
She just paid her credit card bills.
Yeah, Stephanie Cannon playing Linda.
Yeah, I wrote her. I think that it's interesting because she was in television in the 80s. Like, she was in, like, a TV movie, and she was in, like, Chips, I want to say. I just think it's funny that, like, she has credits from, like, 1980 and 1980-something, and then this is her next credit.
Mm-hmm.
Be curious to know what her career has been. And I also think it's funny how Carrie says to her, "You're single, right?" And I guess she's referring to the fact that she's not wearing a wedding ring, so she's not married.
Right.
But I also think it's a funny thing to say to someone. And then, yeah, Carrie's not a desirable candidate for a loan.
No. Would I be?
I would not
be. I have really good credit.
I think you probably would be. You have good credit and you have something in savings.
Yeah, not a lot.
So the bus is $1.50.
Now it's $2.75.
Yeah, it used to be 75 cents. I'm trying to think of what it was when I first moved to the city. I think it was about it. Maybe it was $1.25. Also back when you used tokens.
Yeah, or coins.
Yeah.
Can you still pay with coins on the bus or can you only use a MetroCard?
I think you can pay with coins, but I actually don't know because I have a MetroCard.
Yeah, because a lot of times you used to see people like throwing those coins in that thing.
Right. Yeah, and then she's on the bus. So this was the thing from like two episodes ago when you were like, isn't she on a bus? And I was like, what? Yeah, but we don't know that for a couple more episodes.
Also, I feel like they are right on like, I don't know exactly where it is, but it's on like between the 70s and like late 70s, early 80s on the Upper West Side, because I think that's Artie's Delicatessen.
I think it is as well. Okay. Yeah, I saw
I can't remember exactly where it is. So I was like, oh, that's... And I think Artie's Delicatessen is now closed.
I believe so as well.
Recently, yeah. As of recently.
Yeah, Carrie's writing her column. The toilet's broken again, I did point, but we did kind of talk about that. And yeah, we get to the question.
What's it all worth?
Yeah, and I think that even just the phrasing of it...
Because at the end of yet another failed relationship, when all you have are war wounds and self-doubt... You have to wonder, what's it all worth?
And I guess if we're going to, you know, really get into that, it's worth knowledge. I don't know. I mean, it's worth the experience. What do you get out of anything that doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go or doesn't go the way you wanted it to go? I guess hopefully you learn something.
Yeah, I mean...
It's usually not worth money unless I guess you write a column about it.
Right. It's like anything in life.
Right.
Unless your life has never had any problem in it, but right. What's it all worth in general?
Experience.
Yeah, look at the glass half full, yeah. Carrie.
So Charlotte's on the phone with a gallery. I do like this moment because we don't really know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We just know that she's on a phone with a gallery.
Right.
I love your gallery, so if there are ever any openings, you have my resume.
And then she kind of just walks around her apartment. It doesn't seem very satisfying. Like, she doesn't even look happy. Like, she has her ring on.
She has her 2.17 carat ring on. And if you noticed, in the background, there's an instrumental fun version, and it's Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend. And she is walking through that apartment, and she's, you know, kind of...
Melancholy, I guess?
Melancholy, but also kind of like, this isn't too bad.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting moment where she doesn't look super happy, but she's in her 2.71 carat apartment.
Well, we just got the what is it all worth, so right. We're trying to figure that out. So then we cut to Richard and Samantha.
Yeah, another gift. This is the first time that I wrote down, and I don't know if this is the right way to phrase it, but I wrote, is it good acting at bad acting? Like, in this situation where Samantha's behaving the way she's behaving.
Sexy for sexy best, Richard.
I feel like a human being would be like, what's wrong? Like, she's just, like, so clearly upset about something. And I don't know if Richard just doesn't want to see it. But this happens on TV shows where someone has to... A character has to tell a lie.
Mm.
And they're so clearly telling a lie that I think in the universe of this, anyone nearby would be like, you're lying.
Right. I get it.
It kind of just kind of, like, irks me a tiny bit sometimes.
Yeah, she got some lingerie from Le Petite Coquette, her favorite. It's
her favorite. I know. Pay attention. So Carrie is not shoe shopping.
No, she is not shoe shopping. I thought that was Harry's shoes, but it's not because the window... Because I thought they were going to do one of those things again where they film all
it's
in the
all
same
in the
area.
Same, yeah. Yeah, she just wants to try them on. For the record, this is our second instance of going back to Old Dogs, New Dicks because this salesman, played by Charles Purnell...
Mm-hmm.
He was in that episode.
Oh, okay.
He was like an interview on the street. He was the one like, every girlfriend's wanting me to change something. Only thing I end up changing is girlfriends.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just think it's funny that like we have a revisit to that one.
What is that smell?
Sorry. I've learned to control the sound now, but not the activity.
Yeah, Miranda's gas has become silent.
Mm-hmm. SBDs. You don't know that phrase?
No.
Silent but deadly.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Is that but one or two T's?
I think just one T.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and she's just talking like, where did all my money go? I do like Hold On Back, where she's like, I'm just trying them on for fun. And he's like,
how fun for me.
I'm like, yeah, Carrie, ruining lives constantly. And then where did all my money go? And
does she really own 100 shoes? Like,
what was that Samantha voice? You have to admit, that was like, you were like a little sexy there.
I'm always a little sexy.
You're like, does she really own 100 shoes? I thought more than that.
Where would they all go?
In her stove. Isn't that a thing?
Where no, she keeps her sweaters in her stove. Oh,
they're all over the place.
I guess so.
And she thinks she spent $4,000, and then she realizes it's $40,000.
I will literally be the old woman who lived in her shoes.
Now, I did write, what have you spent too much money on? And what all the name of that is that I feel like a lot of people do have that thing. They were like, oh, if I add up all the money I spent on this, and I can't decide if for me it's cable or theater, I don't really regret either one.
I mean, nothing's a huge... I mean, I guess, like, coffee and, like, food.
Yeah, you're pretty responsible with your money, though, I feel like.
Not often. I mean, I do have, like, a lot of... I'm a bargain shopper, though. Like, right. I don't buy things full price. Maybe my hair, like, dyeing my hair. But even that, clearly, I'm very behind on. I need to get my hair colored and cut.
Anyway,
Penelope, I'll be getting in touch soon.
It just made me think about the things that we spend money on. And then Miranda pulls her own finger.
I'm a walking whoopee cushion.
That's all.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And then she made the joke. And I'm like, oh, okay. So.
Yeah, Carrie's apartment shopping. I love this scene.
With Joan Rosenfels, who is an acting teacher now in the city. And we know a few people that take from her.
Oh, we do?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's a closet. Where did the shoes go?
You get one of those racks that hang on the door.
I'll hang myself on the door if I have to live here.
This scene alone, there are so many things that I quote.
Do I smell curry?
There's an Indian restaurant downstairs.
And even just the Delia, I ask you. I just love it. Like, I love her cadence. I love the way, I mean, she's being whiny, like she's being kind of ridiculous, but I just love it. I think it's so funny. We also do revisit that she pays $750 a month for her apartment.
Vomtown.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
For the record, that is about how much an apartment should be, but it's nowhere near that. We're just talking about this.
Maybe you can get a room for that much.
Maybe. Yeah, some places.
$2,800 is how much that place is, right?
That makes me so sad.
Because I was like, that seems like a... I mean, that does seem like a lot, especially in 2001,
2002.
And it doesn't... I mean, I feel like, and I could be wrong, that you can probably get a studio on the Upper East Side now for $2,800.
Probably. It depends on where. Like, I know people that lived near, like, 2nd Avenue before... obviously, this was before there was a 2nd Avenue subway line. And you would get a studio for, like, 16 to 18. Right.
Yeah. So, I think they bumped the numbers for the...
I mean, I moved into this building in 2001, and my one bedroom was only $800.
Once again, don't stalk Mike.
With your attitude and price limitations, I think you should consider Weehawken.
So yeah, Weehawken, which is in New Jersey, and I know people that live in Weehawken, actually, and it's a super quick commute.
But a lot of Jersey...
He's actually listening to this podcast.
A lot of Jersey is not... now what it was then.
Okay.
Like, I think that a lot of places in New Jersey have improved quite... looks like New York.
Yeah.
Like, places in New York that you wouldn't necessarily wanted to live 16 years ago are super, super trendy now.
Yeah, because, like, Weehawken is only, like, a 10-15 minute bus ride to Port Authority.
Yeah. So she goes to see Big.
So this is where you work.
Mr. Big. And she is dressed.
Yeah, she's dressed for the occasion.
I once read that you took something like $3 million and leveraged it to build a $100 million building. How did you do that?
So she has her thing of like, how did you do that? It helps to start with $3 million.
Right.
I'm just going to go ahead and point that out there. Yeah. That's super helpful.
Like when they just put Kylie Jenner on the cover of Forbes as like the first self-made billionaire.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. It helps to start with the cash.
Yeah.
Why did she really go there? See,
what I was trying to get to. Because eventually she does, after this whole scene that we're going to talk about, she does get the money from Big. He gives her the money.
And she goes through the whole thing with him of like, she explains that she broke up.
Right. She broke up with Aiden.
Maybe I'm not the marrying kind.
I'm worth nothing.
You're worth $1 million, Bradshaw.
Well, maybe you should go work at a bank.
And then he's going to tell her how to get it.
Right. And that's all she wants is like just to find out how to get money because he knows money. You don't... If that's the conversation you planned, if that's a conversation that she had planned to have with him...
It's a very Alanis Morissette.
Thank you. She had planned to have with him, that's probably a conversation where you call him and you say, hey, do you want to get a drink or coffee? And you show up in one of your weird outfits, right? But when you show up unannounced to his office dressed like to the nines right after the breakup, you're okay with him giving you the money.
Yeah, I think that she went there for the money. Mm-hmm. I was not surprised when we get to the next scene where the girls are in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And yeah, he wrote her a check for
$30,000. I could never take it. Could I?
No, you couldn't.
Samantha thinks that she should take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Miranda doesn't, and Charlotte is just uncomfortable.
Yeah, she's just like sucking down that
Diet
Coke or whatever it is.
And Miranda offers to loan it. She has about half that. So I do think it's funny that she offers to loan it and then is like, I don't actually have that much.
And also, if you are offering, then it sounds like she's offering to loan her all of her money.
Right. You can have every dollar that I have. Mm-hmm. And Samantha has the rest, and Charlotte is silent.
Mike, will you give me $15,000?
If I had it. If I had more than that.
Like $15,000, $20,000.
I can loan you like $150,000.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. But you need to give it back.
But I'm going to need it back by the time rent is due. Yeah, Carrie says she's going to do it on her own and rips up the check. Now, here's what I will say. If your friends do have the money and can lend it to you, you take it.
Yeah, because then you're bound to the D.
Huh?
Then she's bound to the D of Mr. B.
Okay. But she's not taking his money either. My point is, this is like losing her apartment is actually a really big deal.
Oh, you don't think she should take her friend's money either?
No, I think she should take her
friend's
money.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Because if she doesn't, then she's going to take Mr. Big's money. And then
she didn't. She rips up his check and then still says, I'm not going to take my friend's money.
Oh, I get it.
Which seems extreme.
Yeah.
Rip up the check and then take your friend's money.
Yeah.
Because this is a big deal. Like, having a place to live is a big deal. And then we sort of end the scene with, you know, Charlotte got a job as a docent.
Well, what does that pay? I can docent.
And I like that still we don't know what is happening in this. We don't realize there's more to this story than what is happening. And I really like that. I like a storyline that doesn't pay off until later on,
which is ever.
I don't ever know what's happening.
A docent is also, in my neighborhood, there's a bakery that sells a donut and a croissant, and they call it a docent as opposed to the cronut.
Okay. Is that like a trademarked thing? They can't call it a cronut?
I don't think you can call it a cronut, no.
Weird. And then Carrie opens her fortune cookie.
No fortune.
I didn't need a cookie to tell me that.
And then they're out on the street with a fan. And I also really love this moment where there's just sort of that pause. Like you just sort of see it wash over Carrie.
No apartment and no Aiden. It's been a rough 2 weeks. Just give me a block. I'm going to be fine.
This is the first and last time you'll ever hear me say this and remember that I said this, but it made me be like, oh, I'm excited for summer in the city. So remember I said this because in the middle of August, I'm going to be like, I'm sweating out of everything.
Yeah, I'll bring that up. So Carrie is sort of wandering around her apartment and she gets irrationally angry.
Yeah.
And I really like it. She goes to Charlotte and I just love I love the first moment that Charlotte opens the door. The look on Carrie's face is, I'm going to do it now. She's like, she's like, I'm going to come in there and rip you apart. Like, you can just sort of see on her face.
She looks great. This is my favorite Carrie Bradshaw outfit.
She does look really good. I think she looks amazing in this episode in general, but she does look good. And she's just, you know, why didn't you offer the money?
I knew you were going to say that.
I wouldn't take it. Well, then what does it matter if I offer it or not?
Because I would have offered it to you. You're my friend.
And money and friendship don't mix.
This can be true, though I just said that she should accept the money from her friends. I understand that it can be tricky.
My mom always told me growing up, if you're going to lend someone money, don't expect to ever get it back.
Yeah, that you should. It's never looked at as a loan. It's looked at as a gift.
Yeah. And if you get it back, that is a great surprise.
And $30,000 is a lot to say that with.
Right.
You're just like, I'm just going to give this as a gift and we'll see if I ever get it back. And Charlotte kind of brings up her father and his friend Paul.
We're not talking about your father and his friend Paul. We're talking about you and your friend me.
And I just, once again, we are not talking about, I just love it. Like, I love the delivery. I love.
And for the record, I am aware that I have some financial messiness that I have to clean up. And to that end, I am looking into some freelance magazine work. I have been offered $4 a word at Vogue. That is a lot. Most people get two.
I sort of feel like we bury the lead a little bit here of like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like, oh. I mean, we'll get back to it in the future of the series, spoiler. But like, yeah, we sort of like breeze over that.
See, I thought that too, but then I thought, well, she's Carrie Bradshaw. She's on a bus, so maybe it's not like a huge deal for her.
Right.
You know?
Maybe
it's like someone like, you know, who wrote Elizabeth Gilbert being offered to write for Oprah magazine.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure that it's like that, but I still remember thinking like, oh, wait, she's going to work for Vogue? That's kind of a big deal. And she calls out Charlotte for volunteering, and it's sort of in this moment that Carrie notices the ring. I also wrote a lot happens in this scene. I want to break down every single line, and there's just too much.
Okay.
I know. So much happens so quickly, but it's just a great scene. And that's also a reveal. This is where the plot line pays off, that no one will hire Charlotte. That Charlotte was on that phone trying to get a job. She's volunteering because no one will give her a job.
I've called 7 galleries. Apparently, I have too much experience.
And it does harken back to Samantha saying to her, if you get off the ride, make sure you're ready to get off the ride because it's really hard to get back on. And it's true. I like that we're dealing with the reality of the situation.
It's your ring. It's your business. I just got all worked up on the walk over here.
You walked?
No, I took a $5 cab ride 7 blocks.
She loves these shoes, but they pinch your feet.
They pinch my feet. I love it all. I love this episode.
I am in a financial cul-de-sac, but I'm going to take the bus. Just hope I'm not on it.
So yeah, Samantha walks in and Gay Roger is there.
I'm Richard's assistant, and I'm gay.
Well, Gay, turn around and give a girl a moment.
Samantha does Pilates.
Yeah. He's like, wow. And she's like, Pilates. And of course, in my brain, I was like, okay, I need to do Pilates. Because if I start doing Pilates, I'm going to look just like that. And there's a box from Harry Winston.
Yeah, Roger runs errands. He's the personal shopper.
How many women are you buying gifts for?
What do you mean?
Roger, honey, you've seen my bush. We're a little past acting coy.
Since you came into the picture, a lot less.
And he writes the cards. And so she asks a favor. And this is, once again, good acting as bad acting.
Yeah.
Where she's like,
oops, I forgot the card. Gorgeous for gorgeous. Love, Richard.
Tone it down, girl.
Yeah, and he's like, I love you, Samantha.
I wrote, this could have gone much differently.
Yeah, and she's like, I love this. And it's like, and points to her Harry Winston bracelet. But, like, isn't that what you wanted? Yeah, you're confused.
She's still playing it cool, I guess. I don't know. But I was also like, Richard could have been like, well, I guess I have to fire that personal shopper.
Yeah. Or maybe not. I mean, I feel like Richard's going to be like, okay, it's fine. Like, I don't know if Richard cares, but we'll see.
So we get to Miranda and Steve figuring things out. And of course we're going to get off schedule, but you have to start with a schedule.
Yeah. He's like, what about 4:57?
You think this is stupid?
No, I just was thinking that, you know, things are going to get off schedule. I'm talking about a kid, not a train.
This is just so quickly murky territory.
I'd offer to do that for you, but I don't think that it's in the contract, so.
Don't give me a hard time. I could fart you into oblivion right now.
And then even just her saying, like, who would want to have sex with me?
But Steve's done that before, remember? He's like, who's going to have sex with the
bartender?
Exactly. Like, this is how you got the baby.
Yes. This is the exact same situation. We've just, like, flipped the script.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just to be clear, this doesn't mean we're a couple. Okay.
You're just having a baby, and now you're having sex while the baby... Like, the baby is there.
The baby's watching.
Yeah. Weird.
So we get to Charlotte and Carrie at lunch.
You're going to give it dimples. You're going to dent it.
I love the scene between Charlotte and Carrie. I love Carrie's look. I love the little moments that Sarah Jessica Parker has of she's so genuine in this scene.
I'm sorry about the other day. And I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
You were right. I haven't wanted to let go of being Mrs. Trey McDougal.
Well, I think that you are coping amazingly well. I'm just scared.
I feel like we've been at this location before.
Is it 11 Madison Park?
I don't know. It looks like the same place that Carrie and Charlotte had dessert once.
Okay.
When Charlotte was feeling bad about her body and ordered a fruit tray instead of the chocolate souffle that Carrie was getting.
Hmm.
I don't remember that scene or not, but like Carrie's like, oh, now you make me feel bad.
Either way, I hope Charlotte's picking up the tab because this place looks expensive.
It does look expensive.
Wow. We're alone again.
Yeah.
I don't know. As I say that I love this episode, and I do, there's something about her, we're alone again, that I just think, you're not alone, you're just single.
Mm-hmm.
But I get what she's saying. And then Charlotte gives her the ring.
No, Charlotte, I think you're right. It would make things too complicated.
Carrie, this is a straightforward business proposal.
Which makes me think that Charlotte doesn't know what a business proposal is.
Yeah, it doesn't mean like, let me give you this ring and 10 reasons why we should start this business together. I think she means business transaction.
Yes, there you go. That makes more sense. It's going to take a while to pay her back. And I would imagine it's going to take a long time. I mean, but people pay off their mortgages over the course of like 40 years.
Yeah. How much is that ring worth? At least $30,000.
I guess so. I meant to look up what a 2.71 carat diamond is worth. I also feel like we've gone over this with rings before, or maybe it was a different kind of jewelry, and it definitely has to do with like quality and cuts and that kind of thing.
A 2.71, there's one on here for 12,900, somewhere between 8,000 and 50,000.
Yeah, so about the 30,000. And that I mean, I'm going to guess that Trey went for the higher quality.
Yeah.
So Carrie also got Vogue up to 450 a word.
Good job.
I remember there being a bit of a discussion about this at the time where like no one actually gets paid that much, but it's fine. It's a fictional word. Well, it's Carrie, a fictional world.
Yeah, and no one also has an apartment for $750. So.
And someone came to fix the toilet and Carrie is signing papers and she's home.
And she's home.
And we end with another Wizard of Oz reference.
Painful past into a hopeful future?
No, it wasn't as easy as clicking her Manolos together.
Oh, yeah.
And there we go. That's the episode. I probably also have watched this episode. If I was going to rank episodes I've watched the most, this is at the top of them. This is kind of like one of the go-tos for me that I watch quite frequently. Yeah, I think it's a great episode.
I enjoyed it. Yeah,
good job,
I couldn't
Amy
help.
Harris.
I just couldn't help but wonder why Carrie didn't take those rubber gloves off.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's true. I couldn't help but wonder why she went to see Big, I feel, to get the money, accepted the check, and then tore it up and burned it while not accepting the money from her friends.
Did she burn it?
Didn't she, like, burn it in the candle or something like that?
Oh, I hate
Maybe
when people
not.
Do that.
Yeah, it is pretty
obnoxious. I also couldn't help but wonder if Magda's going to be pissed when she gets there, because I feel like if Miranda and Steve have sex on that couch, Miranda might shart. And Magda's got to clean it up.
That's her job. That's what she gets paid
That's
for a
job.
Full month to do.
Sharding. Clean up my shart.
We're coming down to the end here. We only have two more episodes in this season.
And that we're not finishing the rest of the show, right?
No, we're done.
Yeah.
We figured four and that's good.
Yeah. Figure it out.
All right. Two
Just
more episodes.
Kidding.
Just kidding. And then we'll be back.
Bye.
All right. Next week. You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. We'll be back next week with a Vogue idea. Charlotte has trouble letting... Charlotte has trouble letting go of being Mrs. Trey McDougal.
I like that word, though. Trepolating.
Trepolating.
Really quick, though, we forgot a really good line where she says, "Don't give me a hard time. I could fart you into oblivion." I'm going to use that.
Okay. Just to your tables.
In life. I'm a Miranda now.
You'll come back.